Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Holy Spirit, we ask you to teach us this morning how we praise you for your word, for your patience with us and your instruction, the great instruction we find in the word, your word of truth. We pray that you would continue our worship. We thank you for the beautiful, powerful spirit of worship this morning, the quiet confidence of coming before you, the purchased way, purchased by the shed blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How we praise you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death. That was Christ's rallying cry to the embattled church at Smyrna in Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Last week, we answered the questions, to whom are we to be faithful? The answer being God. And to what are we to be faithful? The answer being the Word of God, specifically the gospel of Jesus Christ, as preached by Paul the Apostle. This week, we're going to look at the nature of this faithfulness, that the Spirit grows in our lives, the very faithfulness of God. As our lives bear the fruit of the Spirit, the faithfulness that is seen will be the faithfulness of God. So faithfulness, what does it mean? Who has it? How do we know? The primary word used in the Greek for faith or faithfulness is pistis in its various forms. The basic meaning is to believe in, to have faith in, to trust in, rely on. If we have faith in God, we believe in God and we believe God. We believe His Word, the Bible, as the authoritative source for everything, front to back, cover to cover. Creation to salvation, from here to eternity. From Strong's Concordance, we learn that faith is a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the included idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith, end quote. Pistis may mean either the act or the attitude of believing, pistuen, that is, faith or trust, which is its most frequent sense in Paul's letters, or the quality of being worthy of belief, faithfulness, trustworthiness, loyalty. Faithfulness means that we have come to believe God so fully and completely that we trust Him in and with everything in our lives. But something else occurs. Something else occurs as we believe in and trust God more and more for life. We might call it a complementary dynamic. The more we trust in God, the further we move away from trusting in ourselves. And the more we move away from trusting in ourselves, the closer we move toward complete submission and surrender to our Lord. And now the words of Christ to the church at Smyrna have become our high calling and a greatly anticipated joy, faithful unto death. This morning we're going to focus our attention on an Old Testament scripture that accurately and powerfully presents the biblical concept of faithfulness. More trust in God, less trust in ourselves. It begins like this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, 5. Proverbs 3, 5 was a text I had gone to in my study, and it does just what I said in presenting this very powerful concept of God's faithfulness. But what I realized as I went along, I thought this brings us all together. That's one of the struggles of we've got into the fruit of the Spirit and we've stopped with each one and it becomes more of a topical study. We're not moving verse by verse through Galatians. We've stopped on these words because we need to know what these words mean. We need to know when it says that this fruit of the Spirit, these things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and the rest of them, gentleness and self-control. We want to recognize that fruit. And it just hit me. Again, the amazement of God's word. And it's just, well, Proverbs 3, 5 to 7 really says it all. It just captures the whole idea. More trust in God, less trust in ourselves. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. This proverb teaches us that if we trust in the Lord with all our heart, that he will take care of the road ahead. Our path, our lives. But we need to first see that this truth, first we need to see that this truth applies only to the person who has trusted him for salvation. So we look at that first phrase, trust in the Lord. And so we ask, have you trusted in the Lord? The Spirit works in the lives of those who have trusted in the Lord for salvation. John 1, and I think you're going to have all or most of these verses in your study sheet. You know what? You don't have this first set. I'll make sure I read them out loud and clear. John 1, verse 11, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed. Now, guess what the Greek word for believed here is? Well, it's a form of pistis. What you will find time after time, and in all four of these verses, when you hear believe or believed or believe or faith, it's going to be variations of the same word, the basic word pistis, to have faith in, to believe in, to rely on, to trust in. So back to verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of God, but of God. They were born of God, nor of the will of man, but of God. Romans 3, 21 and 22. Romans 3, 21, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith, there's our word, in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Same word. Romans 4, verses 4 and 5. And actually, these verses are listed on your study sheet. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes, there's our word, in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith, same word, is counted as righteousness. And Galatians 2:16, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith, our word, in Jesus Christ. So we have also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. So we see that someone first, for these things to apply to our lives, it has to be to the person who has trusted in Jesus Christ and has received the gift of eternal life, the free gift of salvation by grace through faith. And Christ alone, no works. Secondly, this morning, we see the phrase, and we expand our phrase where Romans came from, I have no idea. I guess I just read it. In Proverbs 3, 5, first we said, trust in the Lord. Now trust in the Lord with all your heart. The Spirit's work of faithfulness. And this is so important, and it's interesting because I've caught some of MacArthur's messages going through Galatians, and I feel very affirmed in the direction that I go, because I wonder, you know, you wonder, am I making too much of this fruit being obvious? And we have to see this fruit. It's a testimony to others. It's a testimony to ourselves. Do we know Christ? Fruit present, then it's evident that you know Christ. Fruit not present, fruit of the Spirit I'm speaking of, then you better start questioning things. And I'm not alone. I'm not alone in that. So that's good. I've not gone off on some tangent. I've not gone down some rabbit hole and lost my way and lost my connection to the basic message of Galatians and, of course, of Scripture. So the Spirit's work of faithfulness will be evident in the lives of the faithful. The Spirit will not produce His fruit in the life of the person whose faith in Jesus Christ is not genuine. The Spirit works the work of God in the lives of those who believe in God. These things are so basic, but the basic things of Scripture are the powerful things. They're the things that we can hang on to. We can even take those basic things and we can make them complicated, because we do, like Adam and Eve did in the garden. We take something very basic. Don't eat from that tree. Well, did God really say we make it complicated? We bring in some outside sources. We need some more opinions and interpretations. But no, we don't. The basic things are our lifeline. The Spirit of God works in the lives of those who believe in God. That just makes sense, doesn't it? If we're attuned to Scripture, if the Holy Spirit of God has our attention, we should also note that faithfulness is observable fruit as the work of the Spirit. Could you fake faithfulness? Well, of course, because you can fake everything that God has. You can fake prayer. You can fake worship. We have example after example through Scripture. You can fake being an angel of light and righteousness. 2 Corinthians 11, where Satan does that and his servants do that. So yes, you can fake faithfulness, but we have to remember, and we'll look at this more when we get into chapter 6, but a little preview, we will reap what we sow. You reap what you sow. Galatians 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Well, we have here, we have a lesson. And we have a lesson that is a warning. If you sow fake fruit, then you will reap rotten fruit. Did you follow that in the text? If you sow to the flesh, which would be fake fruit, then you'll sow rotten, you'll reap rotten fruit, the corruption. Sow a fake relationship with God, reap a what? Fake relationship with God. Mere religion is a relationship with God which is sown to the flesh, meaning that it is based on our humanity, our human goodness, not on the grace of God. Fake religion does not bring salvation and life, but only further corrupts your already lost soul. If you cultivate fake fruit in your life, you do not reap the Spirit's harvest of tasty, zesty fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But you reap the flesh's, the human's harvest of corrupted fruit: hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, and many, many more. The list is very long. That brings rottenness to your mind and heart and soul. So we see that the Spirit's work of faithfulness, if God is working in your life, the fruit of the Spirit will be evident. It will be observable fruit. The Spirit's work of faithfulness will be evident in the life of the believer, the one who is saved by grace. Luke 6:43. Now, I do believe you have all of these verses. The reason I'm in question, because I have them, and then for lack of space sometimes I'll just put the reference in, but I think you have these. Luke 6:43, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree, now hear this, for each tree is known by its fruit. Now see, we have this expression, you can't know the heart. And we shouldn't be critical condemners and judging in that way. But when we're trying to evaluate the spiritual condition of our friend, our neighbor, our family member, coworker, whoever that might be, no, we can't judge the heart. So you got to look for fruit. Sometimes even in church, there's an absence of the good fruit. The good fruit would have to be the fruit of the Spirit, wouldn't it? For each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not picked from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The Spirit's work of faithfulness will be evident in our obedience. Romans 1:5, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. The Spirit's work of faithfulness will be evident in our life direction. Psalm 26:3, for your steadfast love. Here's another thing you'll see as you look at faithfulness texts, and you've got a bunch of them in your study sheet, and you'll see this. The steadfast love and mercy and faithfulness of God just all kind of woven together because it's God. You know, we kind of separate these things to study, but it's all together because it's God. That's why the fruit of the Spirit, it's the work of God. It's not that love is a fruit and joy is a fruit and peace is a fruit. No, it's all the fruit. There are different aspects of it, but it's God. Psalm 26:3, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. The Spirit's work of faithfulness will be evident in our sincerity and authenticity. Proverbs 20, verse 6, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? And you know what it says, but a faithful man who can find? And God speaks that, and you know who you want to be? You want to be the one that's doing this. I want to be that one, Lord. I want to be that one, Lord. I want to be not just the one who talks about steadfast love. I don't want to be one that just blows off about faithfulness. I want to be the one, Lord. I want to be the faithful unto death. I want to be the one faithful unto death. The Spirit's work of faithfulness will be evident in our trustworthiness. Proverbs 25:13, like the cold snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his master. And here you are sitting in the classroom again, and the teacher's looking around. You, I want to be that one too. I want to be the faithful messenger. I want to be the refreshment to my master. Lord, I want to be that one. I want to be that one, Lord. I want to refresh you. I want to, the Lord God, the Almighty, I want to bring you pleasure. I want to bring you joy. I want to be satisfaction. I want to be your faithful messenger. I want to be that one. You can see the kid in the room, can't you? They can't hardly stay in their seat, and they're doing, I want to be that one. Well, you can. You can. It doesn't matter how you can I do this or can I do that? You can. All you trust with the Lord. You trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you do not lean on your own understanding. You'll be that one. The Spirit's work of faithfulness will be evident in little and in much. Luke 16:10, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. The Spirit's work of faithfulness is required in the leadership of the church. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be faithful, be found faithful. The Spirit's work of faithfulness will be evident unto death. And this is our Smyrna text, to the church at Smyrna, Revelation 2:10, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Here's our verse. Here's our song. Here's our rallying cry. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Thirdly, this morning, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And it's just amazing how this Old Testament proverb captures the whole thought. Trust God more. Don't trust us. Trust God in everything. Don't trust yourself in anything. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. He'll take care of the road ahead. Be not wise in your own eyes. And here and next is this, says, fear the Lord. Well, what is it? It's contrast. When you're wise in your own eyes, you do not have a reverence for God. If you are bowed before a holy and a majestic, mighty, the Lord God, the Almighty, there's no way that you're wise in your own eyes. And turn away from evil. And it might be that very evil of being wise in our own eyes and leaning on our own understanding. So we trust in the Lord. The Spirit is the only one who can give us an accurate account of the height and depth and meaning of God's faithfulness as taught in the Bible. You know what? You want to know God's meaning and thought of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? It's only only revealed to us by the Spirit of God. That's the only way. We only understand the biblical concept of faithfulness as the Spirit reveals the mind of God. We will not understand God's faithfulness or any other attribute of God unless we trust only in God and not ourselves. I don't know, I guess you could look at it now, but study sheet 4, I've given really, it's a very good outline of 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16, and it goes over this. I'm going to capture a little bit of that later, but it tells us there's things in the mind of God that we can't know. It's beyond our imagination. It says the only way, it's a very good rundown, and the only way we know those things is the Holy Spirit of God revealing the mind of God to us. Next, we do not come to understand the biblical concept of faith, of the faithfulness of God, by revealing our minds, our opinions, and speculation. See, here's the contrast, that the Holy Spirit of God reveals to the child of God the mind of God, or we reveal our own minds, our opinions. One way leads to godliness and to fruit and to much fruit. The other way leads to ungodliness and corrupted fruit. The Bible describes a spiritual dynamic that it seems many, if not most people, Christians and otherwise, are very reluctant to accept. And it goes back to our Proverbs 3 text, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Be not wise in your own eyes. Contrast that attitude, that approach, with that of the fool in Proverbs 18. And you have these verses. Proverbs 18, verse 2, in the English Standard Version, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. But only in expressing his opinion. Now, that's insightful. But the NASB, the New American Standard Bible here, is so powerful and clear. Same verse in the New American Standard. A fool does not delight in understanding, here's our phrase, but only in revealing his own mind. See, this is the kid in the back of the room you don't want to be. Let me give my opinion. Let me give my interpretation. I want to show you how smart I am. I want to show off my Bible. This is the one you don't want to be. This is the one you don't want to be. Our choices are before us. Have God, the Holy Spirit of God, reveal the mind of God to the child of God, or reveal our own minds? Most of us have been trained in a humanistic, worldly educational system that plays to our innate foolishness to lean on our own understanding and to be wise in our own eyes. Thinking we are wise, we have become fools. We embrace what seems right to us, but is in direct contradiction to the Word of God. A parenthetical detour. Who is being heard in our Sunday school and Bible studies? And by the way, this morning, what a good study. Focusing on God and the Word of God, the Spirit of God, revealing the mind of God based solidly on Scripture, not on opinion, not, well, what do you think about this? Well, not what's your opinion and not what's your interpretation, but God speaking through the Word of God and the people focused on that. Here's what I had referred to, and I've covered it in depth on study sheet 4 that I mentioned, but this in 1 Corinthians 2, 9, and 10, but as it is written, with what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Can you see how far away this information is? This is not accessible information. There's one way we have this information. Here's that way. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. The person that thinks he can just intellectually access the truth, the real truth of God's Word, is only fooling himself or herself. The Spirit reveals the mind of God. Contrary to, the fool reveals his own mind. Back to the Proverbs 18:2, fool does not delight in understanding, but only revealing his own mind. Let's ask this question. If a visitor came and was sitting in one of our Sunday school classes, would he observe us diligently seeking to know the mind of God? I think this morning he would have. Or would she find us merely expressing our opinions, revealing our minds, which is what happens so often, which has been my observation for decade after decade? How can we tell which is which? We can't tell merely because a person refers to the Bible. It's a very common misconception and a deception, a serious shortcoming in our spiritual discernment. The deceitful teacher speaks of the Word. And it's like, then, oh, well, there's a buzzword. There's a flashpoint. The Word. Well, the Word says, only to go on to reveal his thoughts, not God's. Or he asks the group for their opinions, which almost always serves to move the discussion further away from the truth, as mere humans, prompted for discussion, give their impressions. Remember, do not lean on your own understanding, be not wise in your own eyes. As humans prompted for discussion, give their impressions and interpretations for with little or no reference to or reverence for the thoughts of God that are above us as far as the heavens are above the earth. Are we following this? Are you tracking with me? This is what I think. These encounters often begin with statements like that. Well, I think, or in my opinion, so I really need to ask. I really do. Is there anything more shameful than going to the Word of God to use His words to support our opinions? Is there anything more shameful than that? 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Many are deceived in their Sunday school classes or Bible studies because they've accepted that discussing the Bible, or at least topics relevant to the Bible, was enough. And a person may protest, well, isn't that enough? We opened again the word. Well, no, it's not. It's not at all. We have to come back to the question, whose mind is being revealed? Is the Spirit revealing the mind of God, or are we revealing our own minds? The question is not, are we discussing or even studying the Bible? The question is, are we seeking the mind of Christ leading to godliness, or merely revealing what is on our minds leading to ungodliness? What can we do? How can we tell? We pay attention to the actual words. We accept and receive the clear statements of Scripture, the breathed out words of God. Next, we see the Spirit reveals the mind of God through describing and explaining the concept of God's faithfulness by the written word. We see the Spirit reveals that the biblical concept of the faithfulness of God is beyond the ways and thoughts of humans. And again, any concept, any attribute of God is beyond us as the heavens are above the earth. Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now usually, and I typically do this, I go to verse 8 that says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. But before that, we don't want to miss it. First, we have to dot what? Not lean on our own understanding, forsake our ways, and forsake our thoughts. Not lean on our own understanding, and do not be wise in our own eyes. He says, for his ways are higher than our ways, as the heavens are above the earth. To receive and understand the biblical concept of faithfulness, we must first call on the Lord and forsake our ways and thoughts. In eliminating our understanding, we put our understanding, our wisdom aside, our ways of wisdom, trusting completely in the Lord. Now we're ready for the biblical truth as to the extent of God's faithfulness. The faithfulness of God, then, we see, extends to the clouds. Psalm 36:5, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Psalm 57:9-11, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. We're going to sing this after the message. O Lord, among the peoples, I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Do you see how that syncs up with the Isaiah text, as far as the heavens are above the earth? That's God's faithfulness, his mercy, his steadfast love, because it's God. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. God shows his great faithfulness and steadfast love that never ceases and mercies that never come to an end. Let me say that again. God shows his great faithfulness in steadfast love. Now, this is what God tells us. We're going to read the text here in a second. His steadfast love that never ceases and mercies that never come to an end. And they're new every morning. And we need to remember. And how many times have I, oh, God, I am thankful for Lamentations 3:22-24. And I'll read that. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. And thirdly, God abounds in steadfast love and faithfulness. Psalm 86:15, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. In conclusion, and here's where the song, oh, all that thrills my soul is Jesus, becomes more relevant. What thrills your soul? What thrills your soul? What captures you and takes you away in joy? Faithful unto death? Does that capture you? Does that thrill your soul? Faithful to the end of this life? What a treasure, you know. Not to be too silly about it, but I would have got that one if that heart attack would have taken me out about a month ago. But it's still my burning desire. Faithful unto death. Does that stir joy unspeakable and full of glory in the inner depths of your heart and soul? Or is that a foreign concept to you? And if so, what brings a smile to your face? Are you thinking more along the lines of, God, keep blessing me. Oh, Lord, keep blessing me. Keep making me happy. Please make life easy. I have a good life here, Lord, and, well, I'd like to just continue to enjoy this good life and then go to heaven to see my family and friends. What verse of the song is playing in your mind. Is that what brings a smile to your face? Good life here and then heaven and family and friends later? What about bringing joy to our God? What about expressing our love to the Lord Jesus with faithfulness to our very last breath? What about hearing, "Well done, you good and faithful servant"? What about bringing joy to the Spirit who works the work of God in our lives and not grieving the Spirit or quenching the Spirit as we refuse to surrender our lives and do not walk by the Spirit? What about trusting the Lord with all of our heart? Just what is your ideal end of life, hope, and dream? Faithful unto death? That's a good one. Don't miss your opportunity. You're here today, still living, still breathing. Do this. Okay, there's still hope. There's still hope for us. Doesn't matter how much you've blown it, how hard-headed you've been, whatever you're involved, there's still, can you do that? There's still hope. Faithful to the end, there's still hope. It's not just, it's, you know, saving us from our sin, going to heaven and not going to hell, but great, great joy. We can't imagine, we can't comprehend what it's going to mean when we see our Lord and we see on His face, however that works out, however that scene in heaven unfolds. But I believe we'll know the joy of our God. I'll say that one right there. Faithful unto death. Lost my place. Give me a second. Don't miss your opportunity. You're here today, still living, breathing. Redeem the time. What is your need? Do you need to come to Christ? Then do it now, right now. Believe in Him and receive His gift of eternal life. Or you know Him, but you're living in rebellion. You weren't the one sitting in the class saying, when it said faithful unto death, you weren't saying, "Pick me, pick me." You were saying, "Oh, bless me, make my life easy. You know, shut these people up, do this, do that." Faithful unto death wasn't real high on the list. You know Him, but you're living in rebellion. So bow and surrender your life to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Do it now. The Bible tells us now's the time. Today's the day. Might not have tomorrow. We might not have this afternoon. Now's the time. Today's the day. Faithful unto death. What a wonderful song from heaven, from Jesus Christ Himself. Faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let's pray. How we praise you, mighty one, and we thank you. We love you. We thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.